Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, June the 4th, 2026, and we are continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 43, the first paragraph. Fred's story speaks for itself. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Chris W., the 12 Traditions, Patsy M., and readers of the text, Penny C., Martha Z., and Reva P. And the reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, June the 3rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23511, that's 23511, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 23512. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, not nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Chris W. is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Chris W. And Patsy M. is going to read our 12 traditions. Hey, Patsy.
Hi, everyone. This is Patsy M. from Ohio, and thank you, Lynn, for your service. The 12-step tradition. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Patsy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And this morning, we're resuming our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 43, the first paragraph. Fred's story speaks for itself, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And this morning, Penny C. is going to read for us. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Lynn. I'm so happy to hear your voice leading again this month. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had only felt the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. Well, if you don't know what a ringer is, I've had experience with the ringer. We lived in a tenement house. I'm very old. And in those days, most people had these ringer washing machines. And, you know, you had to fill it with a hose. And, oh, it was really a big project to do laundry. And once the agitator stopped, the person doing the laundry would have to pass it through, and I looked up the definition of a ringer, a device with rollers used to squeeze water out of wet clothing or materials. So when I was just about 7 years old, my mom went downstairs to visit a neighbor in the first floor, and I decided I was going to help her. So when the agitator turned off, I decided to put things through the ringer. My arm went all the way up to my shoulder before it finally released. So it was painful. And so the other thing I wanted to say is in reading about this chapter online, I found a footnote that I want to read. It says, this chapter illustrates the spiritual, or this passage, this paragraph, illustrates the spiritual malady in the concept that individuals usually must reach a rock-bottom, defeated state to recover. The ringer is a metaphor for the agonizing, progressive nature of alcoholism. Fred's story highlights a phenomenon known as self-knowledge doesn't work, where possessing the logical understanding and desire to stop drinking is still not enough to prevent a relapse without a profound psychological or spiritual shift. I can so relate to that, because when it comes to my compulsive overeating, I'm a nurse, and over the years I've been sent to dietitians and nutritionists and you name it, to give me all the information about nutrition. I even worked with diabetics and helped them understand their food plan. And wouldn't you think that I would have been able to stay on a decent food plan and lose weight and keep it off? Didn't happen. I had all the knowledge that anybody could have about the medical side of it, the nutritional side of it, but I didn't have that spiritual shift, that change in my character. And thank God for OA. The first day I came, I heard them say, this disease of ours, and all it was a spiritual awakening for sure. But I know what to do about disease. I find out what to do about it, and then I do it. And then I got into the big book within a year of coming to OA. I got into a big book study and went through the book and went through the steps. Then I went in depth through the steps about 10 years later. And that was the knowledge I needed that helped me have a spiritual experience that led to recovery. And with that, I'll pass. And happy Thursday, everybody.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Penny C. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Elizabeth D.
Mary B. Shanna C.
Okay, so far I heard Elizabeth D., Mary B., and Shanna C. Oh, sorry, I didn't get any of those people. Try again, please.
Allison B.
Ann M.
Okay, I got Allison, and I got Ann M.
Leah S.
Okay.
Leah M.
Okay. Let's stop there, please,
Donna
for a minute,
M.
So I can tell you who I heard. I heard Elizabeth D., Mary B., Shanna C., Allison, Ann M., Leah S., Christina L., Vasa M. What a lineup. That's wonderful. Thank you, everybody. And whoever I miss, we'll catch you on the next go-round. Okay. Thank you so much. Elizabeth D., would you like to start us off, please?
Yes, thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Fred's story, all these stories and more about alcoholism mean a lot to me, because I've been in the place of all these people. I can relate to all of them. And someone recently called, I heard someone call this chapter, it's also more about alcoholism, but it's more about relapse. And that really rings true for me. And I'm so appreciative for the first share because of that definition, that very vivid definition of a ringer, because I have a huge understanding of what that means in the context of this disease. I have had a lot of relapse over the 35 years that I've been in Overeaters Anonymous. Not because Overeaters Anonymous doesn't work. It does work. It works when I work it honestly, with rigorous honesty, entirely abstinent, and working the steps of this program. It really does work. But for some reason, I am no longer interested in exploring too deeply. I let that gift go. I let the gift of this program go and have over time. But for me, my experience, I'm like the alcoholic that has to get pretty badly mangled, as it says in this paragraph, before I can commence to resolve my problem. I've had to resolve my problem over and over again through relapse. I've had long periods of abstinence, 6, 7, 8 years, but I've also had 10 years where I was relapsing over and over again. Each time I relapsed, I had to get to the absolute bottom. I thought it was the lowest bottom I would have, but there was always a lower bottom in the future. And that is the reality today. The reality of step one for me today is that I really don't know. Self-knowledge will never tell me how bad the next relapse is going to be. And so I have to be really vigilant about doing this program every day in my life. And there's some intensity in my voice when I say that, I realize. And so what I want to say on the other side of that intensity is that by working these steps every day in my life, entirely abstinent, it brings me a joy and a peace and a freedom, despite how confusing things can be in life. I have a baseline joy, freedom, and peace, and sense of goodness underlying the universe.
Time, please.
Always there. Thank you. As a result of working these steps every day in abstinence, and I am so grateful for the reminder of this paragraph and for the existence of this program in this meeting, and I will pass.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. Mary B., it's your turn, followed by Shanna C. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mary B., recovered compulsive eater in the UK. Thank you for moderating the meeting, and thank you for everybody who's read, shared, and participating today. Just considering again that line about the ringer and that visual imagery of pain and pressure. You know, the pain and pressure of that literally having this disease of compulsive eating painfully suck out the life and joy from me. And knowing that, you know, I've been in OA for 17 years and in AA for 18 years, and 18 years continuous sobriety in AA, and this sort of evolving sense of abstinence in OA, where each time, you know, is it a relapse or is it an unrecovered state? I don't know, but I had that experience in OA where I was abstinent according to a food plan, and yet the compulsivity with my eating returned. You know, it wasn't really abstinent. It was abstinent perhaps from some of the symptom, but what I didn't have was true surrender, true freedom, and true neutrality, like I've experienced when I've worked the steps, I've studied the book, and I've carried the message, and I've continued to take personal inventory and develop my own spiritual life. It sounds like such an easy formula. And in AA, I was able to live that way. And yet I clung onto this out, this eating compulsively and or according to my plan, my rules, my will, on and off for nearly 2 decades once I was aware of the disease. You know, it took me a while to really actually get aware that what I was doing was not really normal. And even if I sort of knew that it wasn't, I really thought I could get away with it and I really thought I could control it. You know, periods of overeating followed by severe restriction and overexercising, purging with laxatives, back into that merry-go-round, that cycle again and again and again. And now with my abstinence, which is clear, you know, for me, it's I deploy it in a clear way. I follow a specific clear food plan, and then the food is down and it finds its place and I can focus on what the true surrender is, and that is, you know, in this program of recovery. So grateful for that reference to the ringer, and thank you for everybody sharing so honestly and openly this morning.
Thank you, Mary B. from the UK. Shanna C., it's your turn, followed by Allison. Hi, Shanna.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Knoxville area, Tennessee. Grateful to be on the line and grateful to be recovered through God's grace and mercy, and have this design for living that really works. And one thing that keeps jumping out at me is the expression pretty badly mangled. Well, the definition for mangle means severely mutilate, disfigure or damage by cutting, tearing, or crushing. You know, and first thing in an unrecovered state of mind is define mangle, right? Well, you know, what does mangle actually mean? I mean, what does pretty badly mean? Because I have this thing in me that says, oh, it's not that bad, because I have an unbelievable tolerance for pain, even though I don't even realize it, but man, if you hurt my feelings, I'm ready to slash your tires, and, you know, I'm not going to tolerate you hurting my feelings, but I'll put myself through unbelievable torture and wear it as a badge of armor. Honor while I'm mangling myself. So living by my own devices and living a life by self-will. And so some of the things I would say to myself would be, well, I don't have 100 pounds to lose. You know, I'm about 10 or 15 pounds, you know, maybe overweight, maybe 30. You know, I look like everybody else. You know, I don't eat constantly. You know, I eat a reasonably healthy diet. It's not like I'm, you know, whatever, just constantly comparing. But if I really look at myself and what I was actually doing to myself and what I, you know, how mangled am I when I wake up in the morning wanting to die and wishing for the end? How mangled am I when my joints hurt and everything about me aches? And doctors can't figure out why, because I don't have anybody coming to me telling me, you need to quit eating, you're so obese, you know, I just look like a typical average American that ate too much and needed to be on a diet, so let's find the next diet. And I had people telling me constantly I was beautiful. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm someone who is able to slip through the cracks very, very mangled and not even realize it. So grateful that the consequences don't determine my need for this program and my need for God. You know, I don't care how good I look. I need God every day, every second. I need power by which I can live free from the pain and torture that mangles me without the God of my understanding, the forgiveness, love, and mercy and grace that comes from surrendering to and finding this God in this big book, the God that got Bill and Bob sober.
Time, please.
And so grateful to be here. I appreciate your service, Lynn. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Next up, we have Allison. And Allison, if you could please tell us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Allison B. I'm calling from Florida. I'm a compulsive overeater. I wanted to share on the sentence. Honestly, the sentence, he had felt only the first nip of the ringer always made me bristle because I felt like, why are you judging him? Why you don't know. Maybe that was the whole ringer. Maybe that was all the way through the ringer for him. Because I know for me that when I even do the smallest mistake, I feel like the world is crashing down on me and I might as well just crawl into a hole and that's it. Life should go on without me. And anybody else looking from the outside would be like, it's not a big deal. It's okay. But inside my mind, the disease is like, it is a big deal. It's the end of the world. And the only way out is to go to the food. And that's how this disease works for me. And so that's why when I hear, oh, the nip of the ringer, I'm like, I bristle because I'm like, you don't know his mind. You don't know the torture he may have been in. But I have to say that for me, my world was so small before I had this program. I was plagued with my food obsession and this crippling perfectionism that I'm still asking God to remove from my character defects because life would continue to happen to me before I had this program. Instead of now, through this program, that's not the case anymore. My life is so much larger. Once I gave away my power and admitted that I was powerless and that somebody else was running the show and that I didn't need to shoulder all of that anymore, I felt so much freedom. And inside of that freedom, my curiosity for life and my exuberance for life was able to just bloom. And I've got power through admitting that powerlessness. And I could not have done that without this program and without this fellowship of people that I can call and say, oh boy, I picked it back up again. And not even talking about the food. I'm talking about I handed this problem over. I picked that problem back up. You know, and then they give me their experience, strength, and hope. And I'm able to say, oh, no, just for today, I'm going to hand it back over again. And I love that about this. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison B. from Florida. Now we have Ann M., followed by Leah S. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Ann M., officially listed as from North Carolina, but currently in the Boston area. I am a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And I wanted to pick up, I mean, as other folks have said, especially our lead share, I am old enough to remember that my mom had a ringer washing machine and also a machine called a mangle. And a mangle was something that heated up and would iron large flat things. It was a roller that heated up. Anyway, getting your fingers or arm caught in that was definitely painful. Okay, so how does that relate to me and my recovery? Because these images are indeed vivid for me. And that is that I came into OA thinking I was at bottom because I had a lot of health problems. And I found physical abstinence, but not recovery. And so I relapsed. And when I decided it was time to come out of relapse, I thought, oh, well, I've really been through the ringer this time. And I paid attention to my sponsor who took me through the steps as they're laid out in the big book. And we worked them very intensely and thoroughly. And I thought, okay, I'm well on my way. And I certainly was working toward a spiritual solution at that time. And yet there was one day that I picked up one of my alcoholic foods again, and I had a one-day binge. And that one was like I was completely mangled. It just scared me because of how easily and thoughtlessly I had picked up that one item. Now, granted, it was only a one-day binge, And that was 18 months ago. And I have been clean and sober from food, from the emotions, and have been what I feel is living in good spiritual recovery ever since. But what this paragraph reminds all of us is that there are kind of different rock bottoms. There are different levels of going through the ringer, being mangled. And again, I love the vivid imagery that Bill uses, even though some of it is falling
apart.
And with that, I am ready to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann M. from North Carolina. And for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, just to let you know where we are on page 43. The first paragraph, Fred's story speaks for itself. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Leah S. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking the meeting, and such a beautiful meeting. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. I'm so grateful for Penny for explaining what that ringer is. And then what does badly mangled be to me? So I understand that I want clean clothes. I gotta get them out, and I gotta aggravate them, and I gotta wash them, and I gotta do whatever I need to do in order to get the stains out so I can feel clean and fresh again. What does it mean to, as far as my food is concerned? It means that I was feeling pain, and I think most of us are in pain when we come in, because pain is what drives us here. And how much more pain can I take? And how much more relief will I find? And what is the solution about all this pain? I don't have to live in pain. I can actually have that healthy boundary. I can have the same circumstances that I do and still be happy and still be okay and still go and put my head on the pillow and say, thank you, God. Give me another good day tomorrow. That is incredible. It starts with little things, and it starts with bigger things, and it might have multiple and triple and quadruple things that are bothering me. No solution. Pain, pain. What does the pain take away? Oh, that sweet thing. Oh, that one is with a lot of that flour and whatever. But the truth of the matter is that no matter how many times I went on that diet, I was waiting for the day that I would be able to pick up again so I could lose the weight. What a crazy mentality that is. And now the pain is gone, and if it comes again, I automatically know that I do have a higher power. I have the wonderful fellowship over here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Christina L., it's your turn, followed by Vasa O. Hi, Christina.
This is Christina L. I thought Ann was going to be next. I mean, I can go right now. I just want to make sure you didn't skip over.
We did Ann end already. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And, you know, we had to be, I can't remember what that last sentence was. I got caught off guard. Okay. But I would not, no, wrong paragraph. Hang on. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. So this is bringing me back to when I came back from my relapse in 2024 was when I came back, but I did not get abstinent right away. And when I went through the steps last year, I remember having these thoughts that from this, I don't know if it was necessarily from this paragraph that I had read or anything, but maybe with my sponsor, but I remember thinking like, you're going to relapse again because you haven't been badly mangled. And I don't know what I was comparing that to. Well, actually I do. I was comparing that to other people in program, the stories that I've heard who have been pretty badly mangled, thinking that I had not abused food enough yet and that I was still going to relapse because I hadn't been thoroughly convinced. Honestly, I kept those thoughts to myself a lot. It wasn't probably until September that I started talking about it after I heard someone say, you bring the body and the willingness will follow. And that felt like that was, or that sounded like that was my experience. Like I knew that I had no other options. Everything, well, the things that I had tried, I will be the first to admit, I did not try everything, was not working. And I knew that this was the only thing that would work. And bringing myself back into program and particularly OA, because I had tried another food fellowship where they did not believe in the allergy of the body. I was just like, yeah, this is not going to work for me. Thank God I knew that enough about myself once I started to hear that message. It took me a while to get back. And coming back this time, and especially like going through this chapter, has really, really flared up my orthorexia, where I'm just like thinking like, oh my gosh, like maybe I need to give this up. Maybe I need to do this. Am I doing this enough? You know? And I'm so grateful that I'm actually going back through the steps again. And, we're taking it really, really slowly. And, you know, I'm really examining those thoughts that have been.
Time, please.
Thank you. Plaguing my mind, and it's really moving me towards being honest about everything, every thought. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina L. Next up, we have Vasa O, followed by Donna M. Good morning, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning. I believe it's Lynn. Thank you. Thank you for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I love that, and the definition that Penny just gave us about the ringer. Well, in the old, this is a step better than what we did in the old country. We did everything by hand, washed the clothes by hand. This would have been a step better before all the other machines came after that. But anyways, I love Fred's story because I can identify, even though I was not an alcoholic, I'm a food addict. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problem. And by the time I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I was pretty mangled. I didn't even know how bad I was mangled physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I did everything. Before I came to the program, I did everything that I've heard other people did, how to put the food down for years and years, off and on, here and there. But I always picked that up. And this was it for me. And the person brought me to the program, my friend, Diane, she's the only solution is Vasa. If we surrender, find a power greater, to a higher power greater than ourselves, and the program. And otherwise, I know I was going to die. I didn't think I was going to make my 50th birthday. I was 41 years old when I came in the program. And I really took it very, very seriously. I didn't want to die. My mom passed on when she was 62 years old due to the disease of compulsive overeating. And I didn't know, I didn't know they called the disease. I didn't know the sugar was a drug. I didn't know anything about emotions. Well, anger, resentment, joy. Yeah, I had some of those. Yes, I had all kinds of emotions. Spirituality, well, I went to church, but I didn't have a personal relationship with God. And as I've heard many alcoholics, they said, you know, they found God in the basements of the churches. And that was me. Yeah, that's where I found God when I was suggested from my sponsor on our first meeting to go home, find a place, quiet place, and to surrender with the food and my life and my will, and ask God to forgive me for all the sins that I committed in my lifetime. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just did what she told me to do, and that's what
Time,
I did.
Please.
Thank you. And that's what I did through myself in, you know, in spirituality and the steps. And I've been abstinent all those years. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Vasa O. from Massachusetts. And next up we have Donna M. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Lynn. I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And I'm just grateful to be on the line. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. And for me, I spent almost 3 decades in an unrecovered state in and out of OA, telling myself it really wasn't that bad. I was never obese. So I was looking at the physical, but this is a physical, emotional, and spiritual illness. So weight is not the only issue. I was pretty mangled emotionally and spiritually as well. And I had to see that as long as I continued to use food for the effects, not just giving up my alcoholic foods and substances and ingredients, but also holding on to volume, and at the end it was those eating behaviors of bites, licks, and taste, that here I am finally in a slim body and still holding on to food for effects when I'm doing the bites, licks, and taste, but I am blocked from the solution, the spiritual solution of a higher power. And so today I am so, so grateful to be recovered and to know that. And I pass this story on because although many of us have to be pretty mangled, I have seen people come in and recover if they're willing to do the actions. So I'm grateful to be on the line and to share today, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. We have time for, let's say, 3 or 4 more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Jason KP.
Ken
W. YGIA.
Okay, let me just tell you who I heard, please. I heard Jason KP, Ken WH, YGIA. Is there one more?
Lydia R.
Massachusetts.
Somebody R.
Libby.
Who was that, please?
Libby.
Libby. Okay, let's see how we do. Jason KP, good morning.
Good morning, Jason KP, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from the Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania. You know, yeah, he's talking about here, Fred's story is illustrative and hope it will be helpful for many. And he lays out this vignette, you know, Fred, and Fred isn't a low bottom, I'm in the gutters, I've burned my life to the ground. But he finds his surrender nonetheless. And they're saying most have to be pretty badly mangled before we come in and, you know, really do the work. And the good news is some don't, right? And however we come to this surrender, you know, is how we come to the surrender. And how do we know we've come to the surrender? We work through the steps and we recover because we've done the actions and we've taken the first step and we've had this surrender moment. And for me, it was being broken inside You know, and sometimes, you know, I didn't have a lot of weight to lose, and it's a little more socially acceptable for me to look like an NFL linebacker with a big gut, and people would say, you're just a big guy, you eat a lot, right? And I was dying on the inside. And sometimes we have, you know, I'm a 100-pounder, I'm a 400-pounder, but that doesn't really point to, did you fully accept and admit to your innermost self that you have this disease and that you truly understand the nature of the disease? And yes, for me, that took a lot of consequences, took a lot of failure and a tremendous amount of shame. And in the end, you know, suicidality. Yes, I held a job. Yes, I seemed successful on the outside, but I was dying on the inside. So for me, it's good news, right? We don't have to lose everything and go to treatment centers and we can't hold a job and we're homeless and, you know, all these like terrible, terrible consequences. Once we fully understand and concede to our innermost selves that we're alcoholic, we're compulsive eaters, we're willing to go to any lengths for spiritual awakening, the magic can happen, the spiritual awakening can happen, we can live a life of freedom and joy, and I think that's a good place to stop. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jason KP from Pennsylvania. Ken WH, good morning, followed by Wajia.
Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And, I have the old memories of the ringer and the mangle. Same thing to me. The ringer mangled. And I have that same fear from the old days as a kid. What I'm aware of is that it does say at the end of this paragraph. It does say before they really commence to solve their problem. Earlier, not too far back, it said simply, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. So I have to remember that this is a spiritual program of healing, and that's where my recovery comes from. I have to remember that I can't do this on my own ever. And I'm struck by the fact that they say Fred's story speaks for itself. He'd just been through the nip of the ringer. He just barely got his finger caught in there. And I just had to gasp a little bit and say, wait a minute. He just came off an extended bender of blackout bender. He didn't know what was going on, except that he knew he was in a plane at some point in those days of being in a blackout and finding a friendly cab driver who was willing to take him anywhere as long as he could pay. That's more than a nip to me. and then to end up in a hospital and have two guys come and visit him. I mean, this guy was whooped too. So we all get whooped in our own way, I think, and I know I did. I know I got whooped enough. I got hurt enough. I hurt myself enough. The disease mangled me to the degree that it needed to get me where I am today. So whatever your mangling looks like, you're in the right place. I'm in the right place. I know it. Give it a go. Give it a chance. I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next, we have Wajia, followed by Lydia R. Good morning, Wajia.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Wajia, recovered in Maryland. You know, this paragraph has five sentences, just five lines, and it means so much. It carries so much. You know, waiting to look through this big book, actually, while I was sitting here, you know, listening to the meeting, there are dates in this particular big book from 2015 up until now. And the reason there's so many dates is because I continue to choose, I didn't choose, but continue to be, badly mangled. There's no other way to say it. I continue to become badly mangled, and so I'm sitting here today. I'm grateful that I made it back. Many people don't make it back when they leave these rooms, and I was just thinking about this badly mangled. I had been our Maryland Region 7 rep. And so we went to Region 7 one weekend. I had the best time. I met so many fellows, so many friends. We had a ball, and I'm in Maryland. And on my way home, somehow I ended up at, I think it may have been a Dunkin' Donuts or a pancake house or something. But there's food there that I never eat. And I remember sitting there eating. I think I felt like I was just stuffing food in my mouth with my hands. I just can't believe the way that I ate there that day. And I'm sure people looked, or at least I thought they did. But that was because I continued to be badly mangled. I had a beautiful weekend and came back. Didn't make it home before I stuffed myself. And because I have an allergy of my body. I don't want to just be on a diet. I just did not intend to lose a little weight. There's some things I can't eat. I don't smoke cigarettes. There's some foods that I don't eat, period, that have nothing to do with Overeaters Anonymous. But there's some foods that do deal with Overeaters Anonymous that I don't eat either. And so badly mangled, I'm looking at this big book. It's got a million dates in it. It's got every highlighter that you can think of in it. But I'm not badly mangled this morning. I'm sitting here with my fellows. I have a plan for the day of my food, of my activities. I'm not badly mangled. I've been badly mangled, and I don't want to go back there. So if you're new here, just hang out. Just hang out with us. It's real. It really is real. This works. I have to say this before I go. We had a Ringo washer, too. I just couldn't believe that we didn't get a dryer, and who was going to hang those clothes up but my sisters and I, so my sister. So grateful to not be badly mangled today, and I'll keep coming back. I pass.
Thank you, Wajia from Maryland. And Liddy R., you're going to take us out. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Liddy R. I am from Iowa, and I am gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, and that's the first time that I've said that I'm recovered. I recently completed the steps with my sponsor, and I'm going to start sponsoring today. So I am so grateful. And I was thinking, you know, it takes what it takes. And, you know, I don't know what someone else's bottom is, but I know what mine is. And I didn't come in here, you know, after the time when I had a seizure on the floor and my husband came in and said, hey, something is really wrong. No, it was years and years after that. But I was at a bottom that brought me here. And today I'm grateful for it. My grandma had a Ringer washer. I was very fearful of it. I had a lot of fear. You know, I had a fear of, I think, you know, maybe of even getting better, you know. And today, you know, I've found a power that's going to help me every step of the way. And, you know, I just want to express my gratitude, especially for Vision, because I had just signed up for another diet before I came in here. And then I talked to a friend of mine in AA. I'm in that program, too. And she said, have you heard of a Vision? And it was like, you know, I just feel like that was my higher power saying, no, you're not doing this again. And so grateful for you all. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Liddy R. from Iowa. We have 2 minutes left. Does anybody have a desire for a quick share?
Iona P. from Massachusetts.
I, please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciated all the shares, and I too grew up with a Ringer washing machine. And I think there was a release button, because I remember getting my fingers started going down, and I think there was a release button that I pushed that took the pressure off and I could pull my hand out. But, yeah, and that's what we have. That's what we have with program, with my higher power. He's my release button to get me out of the grips of this disease. And, yeah, I just wanted to say good morning and claim my seat. And thank you all for being here. And I, too, am a newly recovered compulsive overeater and have been sponsoring, and God is so good. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Iona P., and thank you to everyone shared and to our team Thursday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning, Thursday, June the 4th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23518. That's 23518. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And this morning, Martha Z is going to read for us A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Morning, Martha.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.